life without hope. Now that's living hell.
This is what real hope looks like. This is the word that those hopeless people need to hear. This is the word that 3,000 people that try to commit suicide today, the 3,000 that will try to commit tomorrow, 3,000 that will try to commit on Monday, this is the word that they need to hear, is that there is hope.
It's real superpower. It's hope. There's hope. It means hope.
Hello, welcome to Victims and Villains. I am not Josh. I am Brandon, different host today. And with me, I have two awesome guest hosts, Larry.
Hey, what's going on, world?
And Jacob.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
So this will be a little bit different today because we're talking about WrestleMania weekend, which is something Josh knows nothing about. So that's why he asked me and these two dudes to take over. And no pun intended. And they're taking over. So, yeah, this is going to be a big episode. And if you haven't watched anything from the weekend, well, it's Wednesday. So just turn this off right now and go watch wrestling. If not, then just get over it.
Yeah, if you haven't heard real by, world. If you haven't heard by now, then... You know, I'm not sure what you may have may not been watching, but it's going to be a good one. We're going to do a lot of recapping, folks.
Oh, yeah. Tons of it. So, yeah.
4 days worth, right? Four or five days worth?
Yeah, right. Started Thursday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Thursday, yeah. Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday.
Monday, Tuesday.
Right? Monday, Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah.
So we have to do as much as we can.
So to put it into perspective, you know, because I know, as we're going to hear, Brandon basically hunkered down in his house for 5 days with about 12 televisions on like every independent wrestling show that was going on that weekend, where I was actually traveling all over Brooklyn and New York City, attending a lot of the bigger shows. So it's like... I know for me and Brandon, we're tired, but for two completely different reasons.
Yeah. I just had a busy weekend and got to the privilege to sit down and watch Mania Sunday night. So
there you go. Well, that was a show that got everyone to New York. So
Yep.
Well, I took off work that Friday and no one knew why. Everyone thought I was like sick or something. So I didn't tell anybody.
Well, technically, you were home, so you could have called.
Yeah,
sick.
So it was crazy. It was worth it. I mean, like the fight. This is the first year fight streamed or all the indies streamed. Like last year, the WrestleCon didn't stream live; they just like recorded it for on demand. Mm-hmm. But this is the first year it was all streamed. So like, I had to go all out for it.
Yeah, no, you know, technology is finally catching up with all of this. Forget about just the WWE Network that allows you to watch the pay-per-view for $10, where also WWE was promoting WrestleMania on traditional pay-per-view for $60. I mean, you know, you can do the math there and figure out which one's the better deal. But now that everything streamed, everything was available, and it was all through, a lot of it was through Fight, pretty much everything but WWE, Fight TV app, which is a great app. Definitely check it out when you can. You know, the wrestling world is definitely changing for the better because I'm starting to believe that maybe independent wrestling, it may not be the term anymore because now it's globally available.
I can definitely agree with that statement.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Well, it's changing the way that wrestling fans ingest the information. Like if you go, you know, a few years back before the streaming thing, you know, WWE was it, you know, and like pretty much like if you wanted to figure out anything about the indies or you wanted to watch indie wrestling, you had to go there or you had to find like a newsletter or something like online in some way, shape or form. You know, there was no way to be like, well, you know, now you can go on YouTube and, you know, look up whatever match and you'll probably find a clip of it, at least a highlight reel, if nothing else, you know, and beyond that, everybody's streaming platforms are taking over everything, and you know the indie promotions are getting wind of that. So it's becoming like, you know, I think WWE is still going to be a somewhat of a standard as far as a company and a business goes, but as far as like the entity that is pro wrestling, it's expanded like 10 times beyond what it used to be, you know, and that's better for the fans, if anything else.
I totally, totally agree on that. Brandon, you know, you are the you're the go-to independent wrestling fan. You're the one that went to New Orleans last year just for the indies. Like, how, before the streaming, how did you become a fan of the indies, and how would you catch the indies other than what was locally near you?
I don't even remember. I remember the first time I got to watch anything not WWE. Well, not TNA. I don't count TNA as indies either.
No, no.
Ring of Honor comes on.
it should be indie. You know, you're right. When we talk indie, we're talking not WWE, not TNA / Impact / whatever. We're not talking Ring of Honor, in my opinion. Not even ECW. So it's pretty much anything beyond those in the U.S.
Well, my first like taste, I guess, of independent before Ring of Honor got huge than it is now, like it is now, was Ring of Honor like 5 years ago came on My68, which is a Sinclair Broadcasting channel.
Okay.
And so that was like the only way I could watch anything not WWE or TNA. And then eventually I started following this page on Facebook called Wrestling Memes, and they started showing stuff of Progress Wrestling. And Larry knows I'm a diehard Progress Wrestling fan. And it was around the time Progress was like a year in. And so I got turned on to that because of Jimmy Havoc. And then I don't know what happened. I went on Twitter, followed a bunch of pages. And then next thing you know, I'm like going on these websites, like sending PayPal and companies money to stream their shows that aren't really good streams. And then like as years go by, the first Mania weekend I can remember them doing streams was, I think it was when they were in Dallas.
Right, so that would have been 32.
It was year before that.
Oh, that would have been 31. That would have been Santa Clara out in California.
Okay, yeah. I think it was that one where they, like, the Evolve side streamed. And I remember reading a couple of those just to, like, kind of try it out. Because that's when Evolve first got mentioned of Triple H doing the partnership with.
Yes.
And then the... But outside of all that, I had no way to watch any indie wrestling except for going to shows. And then, I guess the next year, streaming became more of a thing. High Spots is a thing. And then, fast forward to now, High Spots got more stuff on it. IWTV, Independent Wrestling TV, is like the streaming service for the like Southeast and Midwest indies. And a lot of the indies that was in the collective this weekend. And then Fight, of course, too. So, yeah, before the streaming service got real big, like, it was really hard to watch indie wrestling. That wasn't, like, you had to go manually to a website and PayPal to watch a really bad stream.
Yeah, they were bad streams. I real quick, I remember, like, when I first heard the term IPPV, Internet Pay-Per-View. And I'm like, what the heck is this? I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, but I think it was Evolve is where I first discovered an internet pay-per-view. And yeah, you know, for like, you know, $10, $15 or whatever. And like Brandon said, you kind of watching this like on a dial-up modem stream that's just coming in all choppy, if it's even coming in at all. But, you know, look, everything's got to start somewhere. You know, just the magnitude basically now is a whole different ball game. And Jacob, what's your experience with the indie? Because we want to talk about the indies first. Brandon's going to take us through with the indies. Like, are you heavily familiar with indies? I know you mentioned, you know, you watch WWE, you watch Mania. That was more for your schedule. But you know, what's your history with that?
I don't have a very long history with the indies at all. I would love to get more information from this about them. You know, it's kind of like a pool that I love what I see inside the pool, but because of time and other things, I kind of just stay on the edge of the pool and get as much as I can. I love looking at stuff from New Japan. I love the New Japan stuff. And I love just finding, and you know, I think this is true for any fan who like just gets into wrestling in general is like, and I tell people, I'm always trying to show people wrestling. When I was dating my wife, I showed her, I was like, okay, and you have to realize I'm a wrestling fan. and I was like, you know, and she was like, well, I don't know if I'm going to like this. And I said, okay, you have to find the wrestler that you like. If you find the wrestler that you like, you will be a pro wrestling fan because you will root for that wrestler. So, that's kind of the way I look at the indies is like, I haven't really figured out like the promotions or whatever, but I find like the specific wrestlers that I like and I try to follow them and I try to watch their matches. And through that, I'm kind of trying to experience more of the indie promotions.
Okay.
So that's kind of where I'm at. I won't say I have like a history. Mm-hmm. I've known about the indies for like a really long time and I try to get in as much as I can. But as far as like, you know, history and like what's going on, and obviously right now, like kind of like I said, it's becoming more and more of a thing where I look at the indies as it's almost in this, not the same breath as WWE, but it's just like, it's another facet of being a wrestling fan, you know, especially with, you know, they're talking about, you know, all the stuff that like Cody and the Young Bucks are doing to like basically put the indies in the spotlight a little bit more, and say, you know, like, hey, we can do things too. We're not just, you know, the outside of, you know, what WWE is doing, you know, and putting more of a spotlight on things.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, and I know Brandon's going to tell us here in a moment. You want an education about independent wrestling? You are going to get an education on independent wrestling today, especially what happened this weekend, because Brandon, I mean, I don't know anyone who loves, and I love this about you, Brandon, knows more about indie wrestling. Like, when I was younger, like, you know, I'm a little older now, but when I was younger, like, independent wrestling, where I am, where I live in the Northeast, would have my independent shows, and, you know, Brandon, who lives down south, he would not have heard of any of the stuff I would have been
right
to. I would not have heard of anything that he's gone to down there. And that's where the live streams and the internet is really bringing it all together. And Brandon, if you will, I think we should, because it was about, what, 127 different shows that happened this weekend
yeah.
that weren't WWE related?
Yeah.
Can I ask Brandon one question first? So
yeah.
who's your favorite indie wrestler? Like if you were to pin down like one or maybe a top three of like the indie wrestlers that are like you're like you got to check these guys out or you got to watch this match or whatever, like what would you, can you give me like a top three, you know, yeah. for research purposes?
I think I know his number one.
Like,
hold
currently
on.
Going
let me write
current, give me current.
I'm yeah, gonna write down the okay. answer because I want to see if I know how well I may know Brandon.
The Ring of Honor count in New Japan,
do they count as indie? You know what? Anyone yeah. other than WWE.
Are we asking if Ring of Honor counts as indie? Is
yeah.
that what you're asking?
Yeah,
yeah, I would consider.
Yeah, because they are a bigger scale. Okay. Well, forget that. I will have to go with Zack Sabre Jr.
Is that just your number one? Is that your number one?
Yeah.
Is Zack Sabre Jr.? Okay, I love him.
He's a favorite wrestler. Like, legit. I mean, Kurt Angle is number one, but I think Zack Sabre Jr. is like jumping Kurt Angle. Sorry, Kurt.
Wow.
But Zack Sabre Jr., Mark Haskins, and PCO.
PCO? I cannot wait to talk about PCO.
And I want to throw a fourth thing because I'm a cheater, Jimmy Havoc.
I knew Jimmy Havoc was in that list somewhere. PCO. Jacob, how long have you been watching wrestling?
Oh, Lord. Too long. Probably since I was like 10. So
that would be
like 2000.
Oh,
like
okay.
the year 2000. But I'm one of those people that like dives into like the history of everything,
no.
so I feel like I've been watching it for a long, long time.
I just but I got sad because you said you were 10 in 2000, and I'm sorry I asked that question.
Well, I even thought about it as you asked it. I was like, does he really want me to answer this right now, or
PCO,
or not?
PCO, one half of the Quebecers from back in the day in WWE. But
don't let that throw you off.
Oh,
don't let that throw you off.
But let's
dude literally, whenever he wrestles, he literally dies for our sins every match he has.
No, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. We're going to talk about that. He was part of the G1.
So let me see. So you said Zack Sabre Jr., Mark Haskins, PCO. I'm taking notes so I can like do my research later. And what was the last name
yeah.
you said?
Jimmy Havoc.
Jimmy Havoc. I've heard of him. I haven't seen much of him, but I've heard of him.
He's crazy. And Darren, going over the indies of Randy Weekend, I'll name off some guys too that are definitely worth checking out.
All right.
I know Larry. I love one of them named Nick Gage.
Nick Gage. Oh my God.
Nick freaking Gage. Nick. All right, so we're gonna get into this, yes. And I'm excited. So I'm gonna try to go by day and get real fast with it. Thursday was not as loaded as the other days, but my favorite show on Thursday was IWTV's Family Reunion. And what this was matches. There was like, I think, eight or so different indies represented on this show, and each match was people from that indie.
Okay.
On this, that's why it's called Family Reunion, and all those indies, their shows are showed live and are on demand on independentwrestling.tv.
Okay.
They had a match on there that was a promotion that's really close to my heart called Southern Underground Pro from Nashville, and I've been going to their show since their third show, and the match was Commander Man Dan, Mr. Brickster, and O'Shea Edwards versus Brett Eisen, Kevin Koo, and Dominic Greeny. And the thing about that match was two dudes in that match, Commander Man Dan and O'Shea Edwards. I used to work backstage at a promotion in Alabama called Pro South, and I worked a year with those guys. 2 years later, they're like co-main eventing a sold-out show in WrestleMania weekend.
That's
in New
crazy.
Jersey.
That's nuts.
So, like, I teared up watching that because, like, these are dudes I used to spend Friday nights going to a Mexican place with after shows and, like, eating food and drinking beer and hanging out. And here they are coming to it in the show and everyone cheering for the promotion they're representing and cheering for them. And Commander Man Dan got a spotlight the next night with Scott Steiner, but I will go to that later.
Oof. Oh, Lord. Scotty Steiner. What a maniac. And you know, a lot of these names are gonna just be unknown. But here's the best part about indie wrestling: you may hear a name today, you have no idea who that is, and a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, he or she may be the next John Cena or the next Becky Lynch. You never know what's gonna happen. That's what's awesome about indie wrestling.
Oh yeah, I definitely know that.
So
on
the show.
Yep.
Oh yeah, especially. Commander Man Dan, that dude is just taking people by storm. But the main event of this show was Gary J versus Jake Parnell in the Last Man Standing match, and Gary J won. But this rivalry is so deep in the South and Midwest. They have been, and I've said this a lot, they are the modern day Masato Tanaka and Mike Awesome. Like, if you want two dudes who just beat the crap out of each other and enjoy it, like, that's the match you want to seek out. Like, Jacob, I recommend you go watch every match that they've ever had together. Like, you will love that. Gary J versus Jake Parnell.
They're just
absolute.
As physical can be.
Dude, they had a match one time where Gary J took the little hook out of the turnbuckle, and he put it in Jake Parnell's mouth and threw him over the rope onto the apron, and the hook ripped his, like, jaw. He still has the scar.
Jeez.
And that's what we're getting into, folks. Some
best
of that.
Friends.
Yeah, best friends.
Did we need to do like a viewer discretion advice before we went into this? Like,
no.
Maybe some of the later matches. That's only if you watched them.
Yeah. But also on this match, I want to throw out this name because she is signed to AEW. Kylie Rae and Isaias Vasquez. I can't say his name right. Valquez, something like that.
Wait a minute.
Defeated Robert Anthony and Shotzi Blackheart.
Kylie Rae? Signed.
Okay.
Never mind. All right.
So she's going to be a pretty big name. She's really good. She her gimmick is the Pokemon trainer.
She's a Pokemon trainer.
That is awesome.
Yeah, she walks out to the Pokemon theme and has like Pokemon gear. It's pretty great. Ethan Page, I imagine this show. It's a really really awesome show. The opener of the show, I missed this. Was Orange Cassidy defending his IWTV championship against Jonathan Gresham? We Larry knows Jonathan Gresham, obviously, from Ring of Honor.
Yep.
It is incredible. So definitely check out that show, IWTV Family Reunion. Next is Evolve 126. I didn't get to see this show. This is the only show that did not stream on Fight.
Really?
And I didn't feel like going to WWE and paying for it separately.
After everything you spent, I don't blame you.
Yeah. So I've heard it was good. Austin Theory retained the Revolve Championship against Kyle O'Reilly. Interesting, Kyle O'Reilly get to work that. And then that was really the only notable thing from that show was the Evolve, was that championship match. Then we go to GCW, their first show of the weekend, Josh Barnett's Bloodsport. Now, this one was something. Bloodsport was no ropes.
Yeah, I saw some of this.
It was a shoot fight.
It was weird. It was still fights. It was still a ring, just no ropes.
Is Bloodsport like the name of the match? Is that what they're calling it?
It's or
is
the
that
name of the show.
Is the name of the show. And so it's they take the ropes off the ring? Is that what you just said?
For the whole show.
Grief.
Yeah, for the entire show. And it's just shoot fighting, pretty much. Some good matches. Masashi Takeda defeated Jonathan Gresham by knockout. Takeda is usually a deathmatch guy.
Yeah.
And he held his own against Gresham in a shoot. Like submission match, it was incredible. Davey Boy Smith Jr. defeated Killer Cross by submission. I'm not a Killer Cross fan, but dude, he showed a lot in this match against Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Now, and this match was on Friday.
This is Thursday.
Thursday. I'm sorry, that's right. So this is way before.
Yeah, we're still on Thursday.
Davey Boy Smith Jr. was too busy jumping the guy who jumped the railing at the Hall of Fame. It was beating that guy up, so he still had some pent up frustration.
Yes. Chris Dickinson defeated Andy Williams by submission, which was a crazy match. Frank Mir defeated Dan Severn, which was a really bad match.
Dan Severn. Frank Mir and Dan Severn. They got to be in their 60s.
Oh, yeah. Have to be. Hideki Suzuki defeated Timothy Thatcher and by knockout, and that was a fantastic match. The main event blew my mind. I do not like Josh Barnett, but him and Minoru Suzuki went to time limit draw. And it was insane.
Did they go, 60 minutes?
Roughly.
Or 30?
I think it's about 40.
40, but still, wow.
I mean, it was incredible. So Josh Barnett's Bloodsport is definitely a show I would say to reach out. Next, this is actually an American debut for this company. WXW from Germany had a show. It was an okay show. The crowd really killed it because they weren't familiar with a lot of the WXW originals that worked the show.
That's tough.
But I will go over Aussie Open. Are you familiar with Aussie Open, Larry?
I'm sorry, with who?
Aussie Open, Mark Davis and Kyle Fletcher.
No. They're not TM61, right?
No.
Okay. Then
no. They're rising. I mean, you'll probably see them in New Japan eventually because they're on the radar of Rep Pro. But they wrestled Anthony Henry and J.D. Drake, the Work Horsemen, and that was a really good tag team match. I'll definitely suggest seek that match out. But the rest of the card of WXW was just decent. Nothing really worth going over. Then you had Interspecies Wrestling, part of the collective with GCW.
again, that was called Interspecies Wrestling.
Yes.
Jacob has no idea what he's getting himself into right now.
I'm just trying to follow as best I can and taking notes when I need to, when I feel like I need to.
Well, I will say Sexy Eddie wrestled Hornswoggle in a False Count Anywhere match.
You have got to be kidding me.
Are you serious?
No. Yeah.
Please tell me Sexy Eddie won.
Yeah, he did.
Okay. Hornswoggle got a lot of work that weekend.
Yeah, he did. There was a wrestler named the Fluffy Bunny on the show.
The Fluffy Bunny.
I don't really.
Was he part of Adam Rose's Rosebuds? Remember the bunny in the Rosebuds?
I thought he was. Yeah. But that show was pretty decent. The main event was really spectacular, though. Matt Tremont defeated Addy Starr, Nick Gage, and Jeff Cannonball to win the King of Crazy Championship. Addy Starr, if you're not familiar with her, I think y'all should be. She has been wrestling for a while.
Okay.
In Canada, but she works a lot of New York shows. But she, like, is freaking insane. The work, death matches, hardcore matches, whatever. I found her in Pro Wrestling Eve in the UK, the women's promotion of the UK.
Mm-hmm.
But, Matt Tremont, that's a dude to check out, too. I think Larry's familiar with him, I think.
Oh, Matt Tremont? I actually have a pop vinyl autographed by him.
Oh, really?
I know we're doing it on Skype. I know you can't see it. What happened was someone made a I'm a huge collector of pop vinyls. Just go off topic for a moment. And they have DIY, not the former NXT Tag Champions, but DIY pop vinyls that are plain pop vinyls that you can paint and design yourself. So when I went to that when I went to Game Changer Wrestling that time to hand out the flyers, and I'm like, what is going on in this building? They were selling these custom pop. I'll go get it in a moment. Custom pop. They made it for Matt Tremont, and he actually signed it. While you're talking, I'll go get it to show you.
Yeah, I'd love to have that. I love Matt Tremont, man. He's awesome. But yeah, everyone in that match, man, Addy Starr, Nick Gage, and Jeff Cannonball, and Matt Tremont are all worth checking out. If you're into deathmatch wrestling, I don't know.
I do. I am.
It's definitely it's an acquired taste.
It is, but I'll tell you what, I feel like those are the guys that in a lot of ways are have paved the path for where we are now, you know?
So I'm just showing
Oh, yeah,
the pop,
I agree with you.
That's awesome.
Man, I would love to have that. That'd be awesome. Yeah. I love Matt Tremont. He's working in Indy in Chattanooga, which is like 2 hours from my house, in August, and I'm definitely going.
I
cannot wait.
Sorry, it's Matt Tremont, you said is his name?
Yeah, Matt Tremont, okay. Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's okay. That one is viewer discretion. I saw the match when I was at the Nick Gage Tournament of Death 2. The finals was Nick Gage versus Matt Tremont in a no-rope barbed wire match. But what they did was it was a concrete floor. They put on the wrestling mat, they put cinder blocks. So the mat became a cinder block mat. And these maniacs are just tossing each other on it. I mean, if you're into that type, like me and Brandon have talked about this. We have our views on ultraviolent wrestling. I'm not crazy about it, but it is what it is. And it was some of the nuttiest stuff I saw. And when I watched Matt Tremont earlier in the tournament, I'm like, you know what? I gotta get his autograph. And then I saw the pop. I'm like, you know what? Let me get the pop because I don't know how these guys are with just regular fans. So, but Matt Tremont's actually pretty cool. I heard. So,
awesome.
I'll look him up. I don't mind watching a hardcore match every now and again, but I agree that it's an acquired taste, and if you're ingesting too much of that, it can be probably not a good thing.
Poor Brandon.
Oh man. Speaking of hardcore, though, we go to the WrestleCon. Still on Thursday night, we go to the WrestleCon.
Also, we haven't even gotten a day yet.
This is still Thursday. I'm just getting off work at this
DDT, point. DDT. DDT had a show Thursday. I did not get to see it all because I didn't know what the heck was going on. DDT is a promotion from Japan that's just really weird. I've heard it was good, but I don't follow DDT. You have to follow them to know what's going on in the shows. I had no idea.
DDT
what was going on.
Is very
they kept, like,
weird.
It was like the first 5 minutes, the ring announcer had a belt, and then she got pinned by somebody to win the belt, and then they got pinned. I don't know.
Oh, is that that?
I just turned it off.
What is that, the DDT Iron Man Heavyweight Championship?
Yeah.
Or something?
Something like that. I was
it's
confused.
Defended 24/7.
What?
It's a weird organization.
I was trying to cover it. Like,
no. Without getting into it, because this isn't really the proper spot. Without getting into it, DDT Pro is where the whole Joey Ryan thing started.
Okay.
So we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. But we're going to WrestleCon Super Show. It opened up with a pretty good match for me. Because Larry knows I'm a huge mark for this guy. Masato Tanaka defeated Eddie Kingston.
Yeah, I
want
to see that
pretty
match.
Good match.
Masato Tanaka.
Was good. And then after.
Wow. I can't believe he's still wrestling, let alone this many matches.
He still wrestles really well. He still looks good. Like, he hasn't aged at all.
You know, and we're talking
after that, yeah, Phoenix.
Okay. I was going to say, Masato Tanaka is a former ECW champion, and I'm talking about the original run of ECW.
Oh, yeah, him and Mike Awesome.
Yeah.
Classics. After that, you had Phoenix defeating Pentagon Jr., which is really good.
Oh, wow. They took on each other.
Yeah. That was crazy. Are you ready for this trio, Larry?
All right, hit me with it.
Okay. Taking on Jake Manning, Caleb Conley, and Zane Rowley was the trio of X-Pac, The Hurricane, and Jushin Thunder Liger.
Oh my gosh, where did they Where did they dust these two off? Well, X-Pac, I like X-Pac.
I was about to say, isn't X-Pac is still pretty active, though, is he not? Or is he
active enough? Jushin Thunder Liger, he's actually retiring in January, so he's still going, but he's been going for like 30-something years.
Yeah.
Hurricane, did you say Hurricane?
As in Hurricane Hell?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, okay. A, I don't like the Hurricane, but be that as it may, I'm surprised he wrestled if he doesn't. I thought he was working as a producer in WWE.
That's what I heard, too.
So after the match, he got on the mic and said that him and X-Pac sacrificed a payday to come work with Liger one last time.
Fair enough. Okay. Fair enough.
Which, can you blame him? I mean, no. Getting the rest of a Liger. I mean,
So then they had to make it back by Sunday, or at least X-Pac did, because then he had to be on stage.
He had the Hall of Fame Saturday. Yeah. And Sunday.
Yeah, he had to go. Then the main event was something I think y'all both should check out. Will Ospreay defeating Bandido.
I know both of those.
Incredible.
I definitely. And you know what? What's weird? I'm not big into like what I call flippy wrestling, which is basically Will Ospreay. Mm-hmm. But I know I'm jumping ahead. I won't go into detail because we're going to talk it a little later. But after watching Ospreay and Jeff Cobb at the G1 Supercard, like Will Ospreay, he's starting to turn on me for the better. Like, you know, again, I'm not taking anything away from Ospreay. He's an amazing athlete. Just for me, again, all the flips and everything, I'm not into. But after seeing him wrestle, after seeing Bandido in Ring of Honor and then at the G1, that match right off the bat, Brandon, I definitely got to check that out.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome.
I don't know Bandido.
Bandido?
Well, I haven't heard of Bandido, but I've seen quite a few of Will Ospreay's matches. I like him.
Yeah, definitely check out Bandido. He's signed with Ring of Honor, so definitely can check him out in ROH.
And he's in the best Super Juniors.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
It was just pretty awesome. I was really upset that Mark Hassens didn't make it, but next year, he'll get there.
It's always next year.
Jonathan Gresham's in it, too, by the way, Larry.
Really? I like Jonathan Gresham. He's awesome.
Just freaking awesome. He was the champion of one of our local promotions for a few months. So
that's cool.
That's pretty cool that like one of our champions is in New Japan. So we're going to go to Friday. Finally, it's Friday.
We just made it to Friday. Jacob, this is how long this episode's going to be.
I know.
We just made it to Friday.
I'll try to get through this. AIW, they're from Ohio. They're actually the company that made Johnny Gargano. So there's something for you. AIW. This show was okay until they got to Shinjiro Otani versus Eddie Kingston. Are you familiar with Otani, Larry?
You know, I keep getting Otani mixed up with what's his
Anita.
Name? Yeah, I keep getting them mixed up. So, but I know of Otani, yes. I do like his work.
Yeah, he's a former light heavyweight champion, WWF, and cruiserweight champion. Then Scott Steiner defeated Hornswoggle.
This, what?
Okay, I'll go to this one real quick. So he comes out there. Scott Steiner comes out there, and he tells the music, whoever the DJ is, to play Little People by Randy Newman.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever the song is called.
Yeah.
So then he goes, you know what? I brought me a little man, too. And out comes Cabana Man Dan, our hometown hero from Alabama, coming out there to be Scott Steiner's little man. And his gimmick is he chops you with a flip flop, the flip flop chop. So he comes up there and chops you with a flip flop. And the best part was seeing Commander Man Dan be suplexed by Scott Steiner. I bet he was so proud of that.
Maniac Scott Steiner.
After that, you had Nick Gage taking on Mance Warner. Defeating Mance Warner was a really good match. And the main event was Tom Waller defeating Bob, PJ Smooth, Tim Dodson, Matthew Justice to win the AIW Championship.
All right.
It was a pretty good show. A lot of names that I was not familiar with. Oh, wait. I read this wrong.
Oh.
Okay, yeah. We're still on Friday. Never mind. I was confused. Okay, yeah. I think we're on Friday. I'm not sure anymore.
Imagine if you were watching it.
It's all together. It's all put together.
Yeah. I'm going to say right now, Impact, United We Stand was a big dud.
Really? A dud?
It was not good.
Now we're talking about a promotion I think everyone more can be familiar with, Impact Wrestling, former TNA, former Global Force Wrestling.
I mean, their world champion opened the show in an X division, in an open X match, where he didn't defend his belt. How does that make sense? You're in New York, wrestling the weekend, have your champion in a big match.
You mean Johnny Impact?
Yeah, he didn't have a big match. He opened the show with Ultimate X.
That's garbage.
What?
That's weird.
Yeah, the main event was Pentagon and Phoenix versus RVD and Sabu, and it wasn't a good match.
I was going to say, how's Sabu looking?
I was literally about to ask that. Yeah. Like, I know, because he's got to be way up there.
He's
now
up there, and he was ill for a while.
Yeah, so, like, was he?
He's not looking too great.
Okay. Well, You know what? To be fair, he never really did look too great, at least as far as his performance. He botched more than anybody else in the business.
Yeah.
And
all right. I mean,
and RVD?
RVD looked fine. I mean, he was doing much of the work. it was definitely a show you could skip. Sammy Callahan versus Jimmy Havoc in the Monsters Ball was pretty decent. But other than that, it's a pretty skippable show. Then we're going to go to actual Friday now. I'm on track.
Because a lot of these shows ran to midnight.
That's what confused me. These shows ran to midnight. That's what confused me.
Good thing we're not asking when the start times were.
Yeah, I know. So Friday started off with WrestleCon versus The World. Decent show. Brian Pillman Jr. had some action on it. That's his first big exposure to that crowd.
Okay.
He came out. I don't know if Larry's familiar with the game. I don't know if you are, Jacob. He walked out to the Kingdom Hearts 3 theme song wearing Kingdom Hearts gear, and I really freaked out over that. I was freaking awesome.
That's pretty cool. Actually, I just bought it. I just downloaded it. I haven't played it yet, but I just downloaded it.
Oh, man. So good. And then on that show, the main event was Brian Cage defeating Masato Tanaka. Pretty good match.
Tanaka,
And he's getting it, man.
I'm not a Cage fan.
Not either. He's a meathead. I will say, go out of your way for this show to watch the Hart Foundation, Teddy Hart, Dave Boy Smith Jr. versus LAX.
Ooh.
It was really good.
Okay. I'll check that out.
But that's not even the best LAX match. We'll get to that later. Because I got a surprise for you, Larry.
Oh, no.
Next,
I'm hurting,
Shimmer.
Jacob. I'm already
Shimmer
hurting.
Next. Jacob, I don't know if you're a fan of women's wrestling as much as I am, but Shimmer is an all-women's promotion, and it is fantastic.
Shimmer.
Yeah, always have good shows. Shine's another one, too. The Shimmer is just like... Shimmer is the one where all the big women's names come together and work. And very, very good show. They had Nikosa Savoy defeated Hiroya Matsumoto for the Shimmer Championship.
Okay.
Allison Kaye defeated Chris Statlander, who was on Raw the other night.
Oh, was she one of the Brooklyn Bells?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Or SmackDown. SmackDown,
because when the Iconics defended their titles. Spoiler.
And Tessa Blanchard defeated Britt Baker. Oh, yeah, big spoiler there.
Tessa Blanchard fan?
I think she's awesome. Yeah, I love her.
I think she can go far. Do you think she's able to go as far as Charlotte can go, seeing how these are two daughters of horsemen?
I think she's a better wrestler than Charlotte.
Okay. All right, I'll take that.
Now,
and
whose daughter
better mic worker?
Tessa Blanchard's the daughter of Tully Blanchard of the Four Horsemen, Brainbusters.
Okay. Who's more talented than Ric Flair? Sorry, I said it.
Wow. Brandon saying Tully should have been the champion. Okay. Yes.
No, Arn Anderson should have been champion.
I was about to say, are we going to forget Arn Anderson? Like, honestly. Of the four, I always liked Arn Anderson more than all of them. Like, yeah, I know Ric Flair was the guy who was kind of said, okay, I'm going to go do my thing. But I always thought Arn Anderson was better in the ring, and I honestly thought his character was more interesting. Unpopular opinion.
I always rooted for the revolving fourth horseman, whoever it might have been. Luger. Vicious.
You sound like
Sting.
Manga, like my dad watching football, he just wanted to root for whoever had the ball because he just see a good. He just wanted to see a good play.
Paul Roma. Any event.
Don't forget Stephen Michael.
See, I liked Mongo. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, he was cool.
I liked Mongo.
The main event saw Samantha Heights defeating Dust to win the Hardest Humor Championship. Samantha Heights, she's like 19, 20 years old and lied about her age for a long time so she could work.
Oh, wow.
Really cool to see her get some love. As it for Shimmer, I'm going to go through. Go ahead, sorry.
No. I was just saying, like, I don't even think you can get away with that nowadays. Like, it's just so easy.
So is she a good wrestler for that age?
Oh, she's fantastic, yeah.
Dude, that always gets me excited when you see someone that's, like, super young and they're super talented.
Yep.
Like, that always gets me excited. I want to watch people like that because it's, like, that progression. Like, if they keep getting better, like those are the next, like, people that are going to be big. Like, well, this isn't spoilers, but, like, you know, NXT, there's Velveteen Dream. That guy is awesome. Amazing. And he's only 20 years old.
Yeah.
Like, he's only 20. Like, and he just, some of the stuff he does is just ridiculous. If he keeps going the way he's going, you know, his gimmick, I don't know if they're going to let him keep that gimmick when they call him up. I don't know what they'll do, but you know, cause it's very, like almost Rick Rude or Ravishing Rick Rude kind of style thing.
It is
that he's doing.
It's like a combination Rude Goldust kind of sort of, but not as hardcore as Goldust was.
Right,
yeah. Right. The Dream. You know, we can. That's a whole nother episode.
We can talk about that later. But I was just like you mentioned like young wrestlers that are good, and it just made me think of the Dream. Like just, and that's why I like him is because like he's that good at 20, and if she's as good as you say, like at her age, like those are the people that are going to be, like. The people that, you know, we're going to be talking about in 10, 15 years.
Oh, yeah.
When we're talking about him now.
Yep.
Yeah. She's awesome. Samantha Heights is her name one more time. Next was Chikara. That was also a dud for me, the Chikara show.
Okay.
I'm not going to go over that. It was a dud. The Rev Pro show, which is Rev Pro's first time streaming live in America. That was pretty cool. The show was all right. The only match on it I'll really recommend was Zack Sabre Jr. and Minoru Suzuki defeating Hiroshi Tanahashi and Will Ospreay in a tag match. That was really, really good. And then I would also refer Tomohiro Ishii defeating David Starr. Also a pretty good match there on Rev Pro.
Oh,
after that.
Rev Pro has a working relationship with New Japan. I forgot about that.
Yeah. That's why I was saying Aussie Open earlier. That's why they're on the radar to maybe work like a tag league next year.
Okay.
Next, WWN Super Show, Mercury Rising. It was also not a very big show because a lot of the Evolve guys now are signed to other places.
Mostly NXT.
mostly. So it was a lot of talent from WXW and EDT wrestling on the show with WWN guys, and I didn't really know a whole lot of them. Honestly, so that was a show that I kind of zoned out on because I didn't really know half the guys on the card. So but it was a pretty decent show, though, if you like EDT, WXW, and WWN. Next was Black Label Pro, which is a company that I'm really good friends with the promoter, Mikey.
I'm really interested. I want to look more into Black Label Pro because you talked about it on my podcast. Talked about like Johnny Impact as a champion. I was looking a little more into it.
No, that's Blackcraft.
Oh, okay. Never mind that. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about, and I'm not interested in it.
Is the one, Blood Label Pro is the one who got PCO back in the Indies.
That's right. Okay, I got the champion confused. Not Blackcraft.
Yeah.
Okay. Forget what I just.
Blackcraft will be brought up in a little bit. but that was a pretty big show for me because I'm really good friends with the promoter and a lot of people on here. People do I know personally have seen. Here in Alabama or traveling to Tennessee and Georgia and Illinois and beyond for shows. The first match was Kobe Durst taking on Ethan Page in a street fight to win the BLP championship. If you don't know who Kobe Durst or Ethan Page is, that's two guys to definitely look out for. Ethan Page has a promotion called Alpha One that's fantastic. The best match I've seen from them, this is like a cheap plug for Ruby Riott. Kobe Durst versus Ruby Riott, who was then called Heidi Lovelace in a last man standing match. insane. Okay. And Orange Cassidy defeated Brian Alvarez.
Brian Alvarez.
Kevin Coote and Dominic Green defeated defeated Tank, Deathmatch Legend Tank, and the Raging Bull Manny Fernandez.
Boy, that's a name out of the past.
Good Lord. Yeah. Nick Gage defeated Hornswoggle.
And Hornswoggle got around.
Yeah, but look who he's fighting. He took on Scott Steiner. He took on Nick Gage in a death match. I saw a
Sexy Eddie.
Sexy Eddie, who's also a deathmatch wrestler. Like, I saw a photo of Hornswoggle being pile-driven by Nick Gage. I mean, I don't get it.
Dude, he earned his pay.
Was that the match where he had the skewer sticking out of his head?
Yes, I think it was. Yeah, he earned it, man. I think my number one independent wrestling wife, Alley Cat, she won the Brian Zane $1 million Battle Royal. If you don't know Alley Cat, check her out. She's amazing. I'm madly in love with her. If you listen to this, I love you. But don't tell your fiance NJF that I said
that.
Oh,
boy. All in.
Then you had Gary J, AJ Gray, Kurt Stallion, and CW Anderson take on Jake Parnell, Chris Dickinson, Roy Gulak, and Daniel Maccabee. Daniel Maccabee is a dude that I didn't know until this weekend. He is fantastic. That's a dude that is on the rise, I think.
Okay.
And AJ Gray is a guy who I discovered here in Alabama, and this dude's just killing it. He wrestled Tuco Scorpio last year, the show I went to.
Oh, wow.
Which is freaking awesome.
That's cool.
And he's getting out there. And Kurt Stallion is another guy that's huge. And, of course, Jake Parnell and Chris, and Gary J. and Chris Dickinson, who I'll be talking about a lot here in a minute. Then you had Jordan Grace, Kylie Ray, Nicole Savoy, Samantha Heights, and Cilla Darling defeating Chelsea McKenzie, Zoe Lucas, Charlie Evans, Indy Hartwell, and Jessica Troy in a tag match. All those names were on the Shimmer show, so that's pretty cool that all the Shimmer talent. And the main event was Jonathan Gresham defeating Shinhiro Irie, which was a really good match. So this April Pro show was pretty good.
Cool. Now, we still
next,
on Friday?
My notes was NXT, or not doing that? Yes, we are. I have to go past NXT because I put this one up. Spring Break. So, Julia Janela Spring Break 3, Part 1. Marco Stunt defeated Joe Janela. That was a return match for both men.
Oh.
Jacob, are you familiar with Joe Janela?
I am not.
That's one you got to put a list.
You need to be.
Put him on the list. Joey Janela.
And Marco Stunt. This dude's like 4 foot tall and is incredible.
Wait a minute. Was he in that? Was he the little guy
in
the All In?
All In.
Over budget battle royal? Okay.
Yeah.
That guy is nuts. Yeah. He's a feisty one.
He's another guy who I've seen in Tennessee a lot. Like, for $10. Joe Janela, real quick, Jacob, he is very innovative with booking. He books for DCW, and he did this 2 years ago. He did Spring Break 2 years ago, WrestleMania weekend. And it has became the equivalent to the Raw After Mania, because it's a show that you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who's going to show up. It's just insane. He does these crazy matchups. I'm going to get to one in a second.
I'm not going to spoil it, but is it the one you talked about with Starman? The guy who took the mask, he was wearing the pink outfit, took his mask off.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. Nick Gage defeated Shinjiro Otani. Really good match. Takumi Shinoku defeated Orange Cassidy. Virgil, dressed as Starman, defeated Ethan Page in a match for Ethan Page's soul.
That's the match I was talking about. So, the soul of Ethan Page. And I saw the still when the guy. Now, we're talking Starman from the old NES game Pro Wrestling. That's Starman. Yes. So, clearly, copyright infringements just being violated from every which way. And when I saw the shot with Starman taking his mask off and it was Virgil, I was like, holy cow.
The main event was Masashi Takeda defeating Jimmy Lloyd in the death match, but there's a match I wanted to stay for last year. This match was probably top three matches all weekend. Are you ready?
Okay.
Invisible Man defeated Invisible Stan.
I heard about this. I heard about
Jake
this.
Jake is like, what?
It was two invisible men fighting each other, right?
Yes.
And somehow a table was broken.
What was the second stage of his reaction?
Wasn't a table broken?
Yes, it was a table broken.
By one invisible man to another. Jacob, go.
Yes.
How?
I heard about this.
I'm a wrestling fan. I'm a comic book fan. I know to suspend my disbelief, but I'm going to need some help.
Okay, so there's this ongoing character in wrestling of the Invisible Man, and a lot of people have wrestled him, you know. Yeah. Joe Janela did it, and it was actually really, really fun. He's just wrestling himself, but in our world, he's a real person. Just can't see him.
Understood. I understand like the concept of being pulled into something. I need to be explain what's being pulled into.
Oh, my goodness. So last year, I can't say the name on here, but Joe Janela does this thing on his show. It's called the Cluster F Word Battle Royal. Okay. The Cluster Blank Battle Royal.
Got it.
And it is what the name is. It's exactly what it is. This show didn't have that. He did a separate show for it the next night, but I'll get to that later. So the Invisible Man won that Battle Royal last year. I was there for that, too. He made a MJF. I was there for that. So the storyline was Invisible Man was murdered. He was found dead in his home in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, not far from me. And they found out that his brother, Invisible Stan, did it. Well, then they are like, there's a story broke out that his grave was, that he was dug up. And Larry, guess who dug him up and brought him back to life?
I can't even venture to guess.
Destro.
What? No! Destro was involved?
Yes, there's a video.
There's a video. Is there? Destro's the guy who's been palling, who's with PCO, and you've got to be kidding me.
He was like, Invisible Man's back. He's coming to spring break. So they booked the match. Invisible Man from Invisible Stan, his brother. Brother versus brother. So basically the crowd was all for it. I mean, the crowd, like, Larry, are you familiar with Bryce Rensburg? Referee Bryce Rensburg?
No, I got to admit, I'm not that familiar with that.
He wrestled Chikara. He wrestled a lot of indies. But this dude is, like, very talented. So he was the best ref for this. So he actually, like, in his reactions, kind of told the crowd what you're supposed to react to.
Okay.
Wow. And it was just, like, beautiful. I mean, the crowd was into it. There was a balcony dive spot for Invisible Man to Invisible Stan. And the table spot, which ended the match. That's something that y'all should seek out and watch.
I'm gonna have to see that.
And I heard, because I'm sitting in the garden. I'm sitting at the, because I went to the G1 Supercard, and someone was talking, like, yeah, they had the Invisible Man go through a table. And the table broke. And I'm still trying to figure out how this is possible.
I can tell
sometimes,
you.
Sometimes the story is just better than the match, man. Sometimes the story is just better than the match.
Invisible Stan.
Well, the fact that the crowd, like, the crowd just played to it. Like, everything, like, the reference reacted to the crowd, like, it was amazing. It was beautiful.
Crazy.
Only Joe Janela could pull that off.
Absolutely.
I'm just being honest.
That is very true.
Wow. So that's so one more match for Friday. This match is actually pretty bad. Or this show was pretty bad. Blackcraft. But there was a match on that show that is my favorite match of the entire weekend.
Oh wow!
And it is Masato Tanaka versus Chris Dickinson. He defeated Chris Dickinson.
Oh wow! It had to have been physical.
Because to me, that was like watching Tanaka and Mike Awesome. And Larry knows that match means a lot to me as a fan.
I remember watching those too. Okay.
And so the Whitecraft show was not that good. But that match was, I mean, that was like, you know, the PCO versus Bret Hart, you know, of that one pay-per-view where that was the best match in the card. You know what I'm talking about, Larry?
No, I do, yeah. And, you know, PCO, not a huge fan of Brett.
Dude, I think Brett's boring, but you know what? People come at me.
I don't like Brett.
At me on Twitter.
I'm not a Brett fan at all.
Either.
I don't think he should have been attacked at Hall of Fame, but I'm not a fan.
I mean, I kind of laughed, but you know what? Because the whole Simpsons thing.
That is true.
Have you seen that picture, Jacob?
Which picture?
Of the Simpsons. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Hall of Fame, the guy from the Simpsons, Homer Simpson, little Jamaican hat with Bret Hart. And then under it shows the dude attacking with Jamaican hat.
Can we go off for just one moment? Can we give a shout out to Dash Wilder at the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, for punching that guy.
Cold cocked this guy with one punch.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Holy cow. The video's online. You can find it. He's dragging, Dash is dragging this guy out, and out of nowhere, ba-boom, and just this guy dropped like a log.
Yeah,
now, that was
out.
Now, that happened before Brett started speaking. He was like still making his
way. In the middle.
He was in the middle, and the guy just jumped.
He was in the middle of his speech, and I had tickets to
the show. Because I heard about it.
Yeah, I had tickets to the show, but I was at the G1. So, you know, he was in the middle of his speech. He said something. Natalia saw the guy come, because what they did was, I don't mean to kind of go offside here, Brandon, but what happened was this year at the Hall of Fame, for those who don't know, normally they do it on the stage. This year they changed it up where they actually did the inductees
in
the ring. They would come down the aisle and like three quarters of the ring had ropes. I liked it. I get the idea. I don't think they'll be doing it again, but anyway. Brett's halfway through his speech, Natalia sees the guy come in, Brett turns. The guy tackles him, and then this poor schmuck then gets the first two guys that jump on him are Shane McMahon and Travis Brown. Travis Brown is Ronda Rousey's husband and a former MMA fighter. This guy was up blank creek right off the bat, and it felt like it felt like 1987 because all the wrestlers jumped on this guy and just beat the holy heck out of him. Like I said, Dash Wilder. Gives him a right, knocks him out, and like you see Braun walking up, like getting ready to attack this guy. Someone's like, Braun, you'll kill him. So back off.
That'd be great. I would have loved that.
Heath Slater was most upset about the whole thing. Did you see Heath Slater? He was flipping out.
No.
Heath Slater was in the ring flipping out that this happened. They get Drake Maverick gets on the mic. Don't pay attention to that man.
Boy.
Don't pay attention to that man. The only person who actually kept his cool this entire time was Bret Hart.
Yeah. Because I saw I haven't seen the video of the attack. I need to go see that. But I did see bits of his speeches, and you could tell like before and after kind of thing.
Because
his hair's all messed up, and he's like, and he was able to do it. So that props to him for like, you know, continuing and everything. Yeah. So did they ever like a statement or anything like why he was attacked or anything?
No,
not what. All we know is that the guy is an inspiring MMA fighter. He may or may not have had all his faculties with him. We're not sure about that.
That's a way to make your name in MMA. Go to WWE and punch Bret Hart. That's the way to do it.
Well, he took Bret to the ground and Natalia. He knocked down both of them. And then, the third, then you get a hot-headed Davy Boy Smith Jr. jumping in.
Don't mess with him.
Who's wearing a god-awful yellow outfit. And it's just, this guy picked the wrong time, the wrong guy, just the wrong
everything.
And we'll talk about it more a little later.
Yeah.
I don't know at what point later will be, but at one point we'll talk about it.
We're getting there.
Like a half hour later, the thing happens at the G1 Supercard. And now we're like, you know, with Enzo, and now we're sitting there at Square Garden going, is this like some sort of like planned attack on wrestling? Like we got attacks over at the Barclays, attacks over in the Garden. You know, it got weird there for about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to cut you. Sorry. I was going to try and bring it back to Brandon.
No.
Go ahead.
No, you're good, man. This is the thing with wrestling shows. I mean, Larry, like we always get off track, and it's okay.
Oh yeah, good.
We're buddies who enjoy talking about wrestling.
That's it. And I'll say this one final thing about with the attack. with the attack with Brett. Shame on Barclay Center because there wasn't one security guard on that situation until probably they dragged that guy to the back.
I heard about that too because there was like I saw tweets about it and I heard everything, and then I was like, well. I actually was talking to one of my friends at work, and was like, you know, well, what about security? How many security guards jumped on him? He said there was no security near the ring.
No.
Nothing. He said the wrestlers beat him up and took him to the back, and then security got him. And I was like, how does that happen for an event like this?
It,
you know,
just dawned on me. My dad and I know a guy who works security at the Barclays. I got to get a hold of him. I got to ask what happened. Because we always see him at the hockey games.
Yeah, ask him if it's true what I heard that Finley, like, beat the crap out of the guy in the back. I've heard Finley just beat the guy.
That mugshot that was going around the internet, that wasn't that guy. That was somebody different. Yeah.
But I wouldn't really doubt that Finley did beat the crap out of the guy in the back.
I don't doubt that at all.
That's what happened.
They were probably lining up.
this poor dope picked, man, the wrong time. Oh, well. Where were we? Oh, Lord. Yeah. So what was happening in the indie world when that was happening in the Barclays?
Right.
We're Saturday.
Yes.
Saturday.
Yes. Yes.
The last day
of
the indies.
Yes.
Saturday was kind of a short day, honestly. You had Pro Wrestling Revolver's Pancakes and Piledrivers 3, not really a good show. GCW Presents Orange Cassidy is Doing Something or whatever.
I like the name of that.
It's a comedy show, but the main event was Jonathan Gresham and Shinjiro Otani, so that was really good.
Boy, Gresham got some work this weekend.
Oh, yeah. He did. You had House of Glory, Culture Clash 19, which had Low-Ki and LAX versus Tajiri, Great Muta, and Pentagon. I actually missed this show because a buddy of mine called me and said, hey, Pete Dunne is at Target. Come buy him. So I went and bought the Pete Dunne figure from Target.
The figure, not the wrestler. The wrestler was in Brooklyn.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. That's got to be a figure.
Yeah. That was cool to me because last year I sat in New Orleans at a Progress show and watched him wrestle, you know, like, two rolls in front of me, and then now I'm buying his action figure. I'm a big Pete Dunne fan.
I like Pete Dunne too.
And then you he's awesome. Then you had International Wrestling Syndicate, which is a New York promotion that I hope Larry goes and checks out some, because this show was awesome. Unstoppable. They had Sexy Eddie take on Eric Cannon in like a drinking match, where every like 1 minute you stop and take shots of alcohol.
Let me ask you a question. Was Sexy Eddie rocking those like short, like bikini, like tights that he used to wear?
Oh, dude, he was wearing like a banana hammock.
Yeah, no, that's what he used to wrestle in. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Eddie Starr took on Cilla Darling and Veda Scott in Triple Threat, and that was really, really good. It was a really fun show. It wasn't like death match. It was like hardcore wrestling mixed with like, you know, pure sport wrestling. It was really good.
Okay.
Then you had this. I don't know the promotion. Game Changer Wrestling like put it on. Uncanny. I'm not really sure. Mm-hmm. It's something in New York that's like that does a lot of like drag shows, but it's called Drags and Drop Kicks, and it was an interesting show. I actually watched a little bit of it. There's a lot of LBT. I say this name wrong.
LBGTQ
wrestlers in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wrestlers in wrestling, and this was a show for them, and it was a very like interesting but good show. Like I enjoyed watching it because like a lot of these people, these wrestlers were like they're doing like a hardcore like almost deathmatch type stuff. They were getting it, man. I was like, dang, like this is awesome. Like, I actually enjoyed this.
I wonder if that was in connection because I know out on Long Island they have New York Wrestling Connection, which got some pop this weekend at WrestleMania, but they do a couple of shows a year for that community, LGBTQ community. So I wonder if some of the wrestlers from there was working the show. Maybe.
Yeah, probably. It was like Casanova Valentine, MV Young, Madame Vivian, Sunny Kiss, Ariel Monroe, Effie. Effie's awesome. Aiden McQueen, like people like that. People that I've actually heard of.
Okay.
Because a lot of these people work for CZW, which is really cool. So it's cool that like that community has wrestling, like, and it's good wrestling too.
Yeah.
Like I was really surprised. Like it was awesome. Right. During Ring of Honor, that was during Ring of Honor, so I had it streaming and
That was during the G1?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also during G1, you had Russell Pro versus CZW. That was a flop. CZW's been a flop for a while now. So last but not least, Saturday night, this is it. We're done with the indies.
Oh, boy.
Joe Janela Spring Break Part 2.
if I
or
can
you
just
had,
before you start, I just want to say this. So, because again, this happened. I think did they wait till after the G1 Supercard to start that show?
They waited like 45 minutes for people to get there
because at the G1 Supercard, the match before the last match was the Triple Threat ladder match, and then it was the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. As soon as that ladder match was over, I mean, a good handful, I would say like a few hundred people, left the garden to make it to the Joey Janela party. So they missed the IWGP match. But I remember people talking, saying, as soon as this match is over, we got to go. As soon as it's over, we got to go.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like back-to-back stuff.
Yeah. But on this, yeah, it opened up with Jungle Boy defeating Joey Janela. A really good match. Jungle Boy is the son of Luke Perry.
So, oh, yes, yes.
That's pretty neat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like the actual actor, Luke Perry.
Yeah. So that's really cool that he's signed to AEW, too. So,
I heard, yeah.
Getting out there. And then you had La Parca take on Masato Tanaka.
That, another one, you know, the old chairman of WCW. Isn't he just L.A. Park now?
Oh, he... Yeah. But this match I'm just going to talk about. Go watch this match.
Okay.
LAX defeated the Rock and Roll Express.
Oh, I saw a clip from this, and you told me about it.
It was a spot fest. Ricky Morton did a Canadian Destroyer, followed up with a suicide dive to the outside.
I mean, the Rock and Roll Express were old when they were in their prime.
I was about to say, hey, they're really old now.
Right?
They're really old now.
I mean, they're Hall of Famers, but still, God bless them.
It was like 12:45. I texted Larry. It was like, it's 12:40 a.m. I just saw Ricky Morton do a Canadian Destroyer. I need to go to bed.
I'm like, I'm getting in from the garden. I'm getting ready to go to sleep. And all of a sudden, he's like, Ricky Morton did a Canadian Destroyer. And I'm sitting there rubbing my eyes like, did I just read what I just read correctly? Is this the right Ricky Morton?
Well, have you seen the clip of Virgil doing a Canadian Destroyer?
I don't want to see a clip of Virgil doing anything.
Well, granted, Joe Janela had to really do it for him, but but yeah, see that match. The next match was the greatest cluster bleep ever. It was all right. You had some surprises. You had Mantar. You had NWO Sting.
Oh, yeah. Every reject that is still working.
Oh my gosh.
Number one, number two in the match was Necro Butcher and Nick Gage.
Necro Butcher came back?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was shocked.
Yeah, you'd think he'd be dead by now.
This is a classic match, Jacob. Check out Necro Butcher versus Samoa Joe.
Oh, God, I saw that match.
That name does sound familiar.
Necro Butcher?
Yeah.
That guy. Boy, you want to talk about crazy. I mean, it's just, it's hard to explain the Necro Butcher without watching. But yeah, if you watch Necro Butcher versus Samoa Joe from Ring of Honor, I think it was,
yeah.
It was ROH. Again, if you're squeamish, you don't watch the match. But
Yeah. If you like some deathmatch stuff, yeah, it was crazy.
It wasn't even a deathmatch. It was just a physically...
It was just bloody gory.
The match where Necro Butcher had his bottom lip staple gun to the top of the ring corner post. Yeah, that was a death match.
Boy. Yeah, that was nuts. So that
is a world you want to be in, Jacob. Okay. Trust me.
Yeah. So that Butter War was all right. It ended with a spot where the women came out, kind of took over, and it ended with the women kind of taking over.
Okay.
It was definitely a parody of WrestleMania, you know. Yeah. So, and my girl Allie Cat was all up there, so that was great. I love you, Allie. So that's that is it for me with independent wrestling.
Woo!
And I went longer than what I should have, and I apologize.
That's okay, man.
Never apologize.
I have so much research to do now.
I mean, honestly, you had more shows to talk about.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, here at Vince's Villains, we love talking nerd. We love talking wrestling, obviously. And we love talking hope. And right now, if you or anyone, you know, are listening to this and are struggling with suicide, addiction, anxiety, depression, please speak up. Please reach out. Please talk to somebody. There is hope. and they're the stop to all of that. There's hope out there for you, and you're all loved, and you're all wanted. You can call 1-800-273-8255 or text 741-741. There is hope for you. There is someone for you. Please speak up. Reach out to us. You can go for more resources, victimsandvillains.net/hope. And you're all loved. We love you. And we, you know, we're here for you. So that, we'll go to commercial break, and we'll come back with Larry talking about NXT and Ring of Honor, and Jacob talking about WrestleMania.
That's Entertainment Podcast Network. Entertainment and culture. Artist owned, fan supported.